Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
All righty. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for September 8th, 2021. Wednesday, hump day. I love it, this short weekend stuff. I just absolutely love it. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the program. Thank you for sharing, downloading, spreading the word, and all that good stuff. Action-packed, as always. Lots of stuff going on. We shall cover as much of it as is humanly possible, or humanely possible, depending on how much torture I want to engage in, of our friends on the left. And boy, howdy, do they deserve it. Anyway, like I said, there's lots to get to, but first I have to tell you about AncientLifeOil.com. That's right, AncientLifeOil.com, your home for 100% pure, non-genetically modified, organic CBD oil. CBD oil's all the rage. If you're going to try it, try the best, get the best. Go to AncientLifeOil.com. Great sales happening there all the time. And if you enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout and click apply, you get free, fast shipping on top of everything else. You literally cannot lose. You can't even screw this up. Well, I suppose you could. You could put the wrong thing in there and not get the free shipping. But promo code Derek at checkout, and that gets you free shipping. Go check it out. AncientLifeOil.com. Also, don't forget about the Curse Program at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. It's the Week in Effin' Review every effin' Saturday. Anyway, that's enough shameless self-promotion. Let's get on with the program. It's one of those days where you sit there and you go, where do we start? What do we do? Should we talk about the Taliban forming a government? Should we talk about the Democrats lying about getting people out of Afghanistan, blah, trying to take credit for other people getting people out? I want to talk about ivermectin. And that's where I want to start today, because this is one of those things where you're sitting there and it's a lie, and it's illustrative of how lies spread. Now, the left loves, they regurgitate out, they belch out this, oh, it's a big lie. Donald Trump's telling the big lie. Republicans telling the big lie all the time. Meanwhile, every single damn one of them lies on a daily basis in a pretty large fashion. Pretty large fashion. I would say there's more evidence of voter irregularities, shall we say, than the idea that, well, this story, for example, there's plenty of examples of this. The story ran literally everywhere. This one comes from Rolling Stone. This is the one that got the ball rolling, so to speak. It started off in a local story, but the story is quite telling about how the left works and big lies. It said, the rise in people using ivermectin, an anti-parasitic drug usually reserved for deworming horses or livestock, as a treatment or preventative for COVID-19, has emergency rooms, quote, so backed up that gunshot victims were having hard times getting, and then the quote ends, access to health facilities, an emergency room doctor in Oklahoma said. Now that sounds pretty damning. So many people are ODing on ivermectin that people are bleeding out in emergency room waiting areas because they just can't get in. We've got too many morons who ate horse paste. You're just going to have to sit there and bleed. Maybe put some gauze on it, rub some dirt on it, and shut up, quit whining, Mr. Gunshot Wound Victim. Now, this story should be national news, were it true. It became national news, not on the national media, not on television, but through social media, because of that quote that I read you. Now, remember, I want to read you the quote again. And the part that's in quotation marks. Quote, so backed up that gunshot victims were having a hard times getting. That's the entire part of that first paragraph that's in quotes. It seems weird. one would think that journalists, professional journalists, would go, that's actually just a sentence fragment. That's not even a whole sentence. You can't make a whole sentence out of so backed up that gunshot victims were having hard times getting what? Getting funky? Like, what's going on? Getting busy with nurses? What kind of hospital is this? The story continues. This week, Dr. Jason McElyea, I believe, McElyea, told KFOR the overdoses are causing backlogs in rural hospitals, leaving both beds and ambulance services scarce. Quote, ER. Oh, here we go. The ERs are so backed up that gunshot victims are having hard times getting to facilities where they can get definitive care and be treated. All of their ambulances are stuck at the hospitals waiting for a bed to open so they can take the patients in, and they don't have any. That's it. If there's no ambulance to take the call, then there's no ambulance to come to the call. Now, we all know, it goes on to blame ivermectin. The story does. This story got picked up by every. Rachel Maddow was talking about it. Joy Reid was rambling about it. Other news outlets simply regurgitated their own version of this story. They assumed, you see, that Rolling Stone would have done some due diligence here, right? They would have said, well, Rolling Stone knows what they're doing. Of course, Rolling Stone did that A Rape on Campus story a couple years ago that was completely made up, ruined a whole bunch of people's lives, ended up getting the so-called reporter fired. It was a huge embarrassment. I mean, it's Rolling Stone, so I don't know how you embarrass Rolling Stone, but it was a huge embarrassment to Rolling Stone. So assuming that Rolling Stone would do due diligence is something, is folly. Well, after this story started going viral, after people started tweeting this story around, a lot of us looked at it and said, this is weird, because one thing missing from the story is any hospital names. If a particular hospital is being overrun because so many people are eating horse paste out of panic, that gunshot victims are sitting in, presumably, I assume some of them would have to die if they're bleeding out and waiting around in emergency rooms, that would, you might want to call that hospital to verify that. Now, they might not be able to answer because they're overrun with people bleeding out in their emergency room waiting room, but still, you could get some confirmation. You could name the hospital. And that was missing from the Rolling Stone story and from the original KFOR story. It was just some rural hospital, blah, blah, blah. Well, the hospitals at which this Dr. Jason guy works started coming forward and saying things like, that's not true. But by then, the damage was done. The story had gone viral. It was trending worldwide. People had heard about it. Cable news had been talking about it. It was too good to fact check and too good to correct afterwards. A lot of people, yesterday, as a matter of fact, let's do Joy Reid here. Because Joy Reid, yesterday on her show, repeated this lie. Now, this story was corrected 2.5 days ago. The truth came out. The original story was on Friday. The story's been corrected and updated. In fact, Rolling Stone update reads as following. Update. One hospital that has denied Dr. Jason McElyea's claim that ivermectin overdoses are causing emergency room backlogs and delays in medical care in rural Oklahoma. And Rolling Stone has been unable to independently verify any such cases as of the time of this update. Which means that journalism wasn't done until somebody pointed out that nobody fact-checked this, and nowhere on earth does this actually happen, or is this happening. Then they decided, oh, all right. Well, we haven't been able to independently verify. Then why are you running a story? If you haven't been able to independently verify, why are you writing a story about this? That's beside the point. Anyway, a day after that update, Joy Reid decided to repeat the lie. Because why? Because, well, she's a liar. That's what they do. Come on. Listen to her from her show yesterday.
So things are clearly bad, but they're being made even worse by people who have refused to take the vaccine and instead are swallowing horse paste. The emergency room in one rural Oklahoma town is being overwhelmed by people overdosing on ivermectin, the horse deworming medication. It's gotten so bad that gunshot victims are having to wait to be treated.
Yeah, that's what she said. One rural. Well, Oklahoma's all pretty rural, but okay, which Oklahoma hospital? Now you've got the entire, granted, you know, Rolling Stone magazine is teetering on bankruptcy all the time. It's wildly irrelevant now. So maybe they don't have the resources that a major corporation would. And KFOR, they seems like they could have, they talked to the doctor. They could have just asked him what hospital it was, but they didn't. So the resources of NBC News might be able to get to the bottom of this, but Joy Reid couldn't be bothered. That was what she said about it. It was just fact. It was just report. After it was proven not to be fact, Joy Reid repeated it as fact because why not? What are the consequences on MSNBC for lying? Joy Reid has already gotten away with, you know, probably 300 lies per week, at least per month. The entire premise of her existence there is a lie. She was a blogger who was writing wildly homophobic things, and she said, no, that wasn't me, that my blog was hacked. And then it was proven that her blog wasn't hacked. And she's never said, she said, I genuinely don't remember writing those wildly homophobic things. And she was not canceled. She got away with it because she is a liberal and she's a woman of color. Let's be honest. Those two things together are what kept her in her job. And she's just shameless and willing to say anything. Like one rural hospital in Oklahoma had so many people that choking on horse paste that everybody else was dying in the waiting room. Okay. What's funny is she went to Harvard. She went to Harvard. Oh, sure. She went to Harvard. She's supposed to be smart. She's never even come across as, but she's supposed to be smart. Now, out there, oddly enough, is the actual source material. The video interview with Dr. Jason McEasley, whatever, Eli, I don't know how you pronounce that. I don't care. I wouldn't let this guy treat my my finger being jammed or anything. I was going to say toe being jammed, but it sounded too close to toe jam. So the video of KFOR, now KFOR has only released little snippets of this, and as this controversy grew, they've released more. I don't understand this. Why not release the whole damn thing? What are you hiding? Is it some sort of state secret in there? But they don't. They released more. But again, the part that they released now does have to do with this claim. Now, what the hell is he claiming? And how the hell does any journalist listen to this guy make this claim and go, well, I'm just going to let that slide. No reason for a follow-up. Maybe that's why they don't want to release the unedited audio or video of the interview. They're like, you're sitting there and the guy, there's obvious follow-up questions here and none of them are asked. Maybe that's the problem. But listen to Dr. Jason McEli's statement to KFOR that started this whole mess.
They're so backed up that gunshot victims were having hard times getting to facilities where they could get definitive care and be treated, getting backed up for hours just to get transportation to these facilities. And some of the examples of patients that we're seeing that are causing a backlog are those such as people who are taking horse doses of ivermectin or other medications related to that. So they're suffering from the side effects of taking a medicine dosed for the weight of a horse. And that's just backing up down the line.
Okay. Now that sounds a little bit different than what you've heard, but some people are taking horse doses of it, so on and so forth. Now you, the one hotel or one, I don't know why I keep calling them hotels, one hospital that he works at denounced the statement, said it's not happening here. Another hospital released another statement in Oklahoma. This is from CNN's fact checker. Weirdly, he doesn't give the hospital. I gotta stop saying hotel. Shouldn't drink all this much. So, Integris, it was found out. Integris Grove Hospital He works at several other emergency departments in rural Oklahoma. So there's a lot of media attention surrounding remarks reportedly made by Dr. McLea. While we do not speak on his behalf, he has publicly said his comments were misconstrued and taken out of context. What we can confirm is that we have seen a handful of ivermectin patients in our emergency rooms. And while our hospital is not full with people who have taken ivermectin, such patients are adding to the congestion already caused by COVID-19 and other emergencies. A handful. The hospital isn't full. Now, the statement the doctor made is that the hospital is full, that gunshot victims are having to wait because the hospital is full. Again, now, Daniel Dale, the so-called fact checker at CNN, tries to say, well, this is just confusion. That's really what's going on here. He says, quote, as far as I can tell so far, what happened is the doctor gave an interview to a local outlet, which he cited ivermectin use as one reason some hospitals are congested. Now, there's a difference between being congested and being backed up, being unable to admit or treat or do anything for somebody bleeding out from a gunshot wound. Daniel Dale is spinning here. They want the story to remain somewhat credible because they think it makes conservatives look bad. Said a poorly framed local story without themselves doing due diligence to examine the extent to which ivermectin was contributing to the Oklahoma hospital congestion. And Maddow and others tweeted out the stories. So this is not great for anyone in the sharing chain, but it was certainly not deliberate. How do you know that? How could you possibly know it? What you just heard Joy Reid say, does that not sound deliberate? It was after the story had already fallen apart. She didn't give a damn. She went forward with the lie because the lie was something she wanted to be true. The hospital, the only two hospitals to come forward and claim this guy in any way, shape, or form, having anything to do with their hospitals, say, nope, not happening here. So where is it? Somewhere in Oklahoma, no matter what you think of this doctor's statement, somewhere in Oklahoma, he's saying there's a hospital that is so busy with either COVID patients or part of the people who's taking ivermectin. It's weird that he chose that one specific thing. And it's just one factor. Well, if it's the smallest factor, why would you bother taking it? Because you would think theoretically if the hospital's overwhelmed, the biggest factor would be if it's COVID, it would be COVID in general, not the one or two people who might have eaten something that they shouldn't have. But nobody wants to go back to the source and ask the guy. Instead, they're all running around trying to justify it to make it as true as possible, hoping that it will remain in the public's consciousness to one degree or another for as long as possible. Because once it gets stuck in people's minds, it doesn't matter what comes out afterwards. Once you discover, wait, the whole thing was a lie, and this guy's just a left-wing activist, and he got caught, or whatever the case is, maybe he's just incompetent, who knows? Maybe the TV station is still withholding things. No one knows. But whatever comes out, you don't care. That's the correction that's going to be on page 12A in small print that you need a jeweler's loop to see. The 24-point font bold headline is what you want people to remember. So keep justifying that. Don't completely shut it down so that when the truth eventually does come out, nobody will give a damn and it won't make a bit of difference anyway because the lie will have been stuck in people's heads. That's what the media does. That's how the media works. Sad, but true. Pathetic. And evil. Speaking of Democrats being awful human beings, you know, you sit there and you've got all these places around the country, around the world, these no-go zones, right? And what are you talking about? Well, you know that there are no-go zones in London. There are no-go zones in the Paris suburbs. Don't go in there. You know, you don't look the right way. You will be harassed, beaten up, who knows what else. It just won't be good. You'll be robbed. It's just... the odds of something bad happening go up exponentially if you go into this area. So just don't go in there. There's no reason to go in there. There's nothing in there that you couldn't get someplace else. These no-go zones around the world. Well, now we have some in the United States, too. Denver, the Mile High City. Now, who'd have thunk that the first place to legalize marijuana would end up having some kind of problem? Like this. This from CBS Denver. City of Denver to shut Civic Center Park due to safety sanitation. Huh. What? Yeah, that's right. The city of Denver plans to shut down Civic Center Park as early as Wednesday due to crime, safety, sanitation, and a host of other issues. See, when you put out the, hey, come on over, everybody, weed is legal. You got before everybody else started going, ooh, they're getting tax dollars. We must also go with the weed is legal route, which I thought was stupid at the time. It said so. I thought, okay, well, if Colorado wants to do this, let Colorado do this, and wait a while to see how well this goes or how poorly this goes, because I suspect it's going to be like a degenerate magnet. And it was a degenerate magnet, but it was also a degenerate manufacturer. Now, most people who smoke marijuana will not go on to become, you know, career-long heroin addicts. Just throwing that out there, just making it clear. That's not how it happens. But some will. Some will. And it doesn't take a whole lot of heroin junkies to ruin the garden party, to put it mildly. Just a couple will do it. So you got that problem growing and growing and growing in Denver, Colorado. Denver's a very nice city, nice big park in the center of it, and now they're going to have to shut it down. Quote, it's not safe to walk through the park, said Scott Gilmore, a deputy executive director of Parks and Recreation, during a phone interview Tuesday. We need to take back the park, said Gilmore, noting several violent instances in and around the park recently. Now, the park is also littered with needles. The park is also littered with junkies. The park is also littered with tents and everything else that you might imagine. The city has closed down the signature park before for similar issues. So, again, this is the very definition of insanity when you look at the people who get elected by the people of Denver, Colorado. The definition of insanity being doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. They've had this problem. This city had been so overrun with junkies, crime, degenerates, losers, that they've had to shut down the park because it got so dangerous. And they go, all right, well, problem solved. Let's go back. How about, and hear me out on this, but sweep the park for junkies, for homeless people, for people sleeping there. The people most like, it's not, you know, outsiders. If there's a place where people are sleeping in tents or in refrigerator boxes or just on the grass, and there's a crime problem in the area, I don't think the two are unrelated. I think that they're pretty well related, right? It's probably the people sleeping out in the parks who are committing the crime. Just my guess, just my hunch. Call it women's intuition, if you will. Call it whatever you like, but I think it's pretty damned accurate. So why not sweep the area of those people? Why not, if you want all the tax revenue from marijuana, and you just can't because you're addicted to it, every bit as addicted to the tax revenue from marijuana as these junkies you're trying to sweep out of places, then how about you make it unambiguously clear that you cannot smoke marijuana out in public, and there will be consequences for it. And you cannot inject heroin out in public. There will be consequences for it. You cannot sleep in a park. There will be consequences for it. And then set about, and this is the important part. This is the key. Then set about actually enforcing those laws. Huh? Saying we're going to enforce these laws, no holds barred, no exceptions. We are not going to sit back and go, well, it's wildly unprogressive to imprison people. These are the salt of the earth or anything. No, they're not the salt of the earth. No heroin addict is the salt of the earth. Nobody leaving syringes around on the ground is the salt of the earth. Their earth should be salted, if anything. They need to be cleaned up, and if they so choose not to, they should be swept out and put into some kind of shelter. You want to sleep on the streets? No. You want to go out and shoot heroin? Fine. If we catch you, we're going to put you in prison. There have to be consequences, or else you will continue to get more and more of the bad results, bad actions. The city of Colorado doesn't seem to care all that much. They're going to put up a fence. They're going to... It's weird, because walls don't work, I was reasonably assured not that long ago. They're going to clean up the park. They're going to do a, hey, come on and walk through the park, and everybody pick up all the needles. And it'll be wonderful. It will make the park safe. And the park will be wonderful and joyous and safe for about 20 minutes. And then they'll reopen the park, and all the junkies will go back in there. And everybody, and all these liberals will go back to their suburbs and go, why, we just did the Lord's work. This is, well, it wouldn't be the Lord's work. They don't believe in God, but we just did Gaia's work, or Gaia, or whatever they call Earth. We just did Gaia's work. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's great. And now there's another junkie over there defecating on the statue while injecting himself with drugs. But still, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We cleaned the park. We made lives better. Nobody's life was made better by it. Nobody's life will be made better by it. They are putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. They are not addressing the real problem, which is the scourge of drugs. And again, I am of the belief that if you want to destroy your life with drugs, do it. Don't ask me to subsidize it, and I don't want to see it. But if that's what you want, if you want to crawl into an abandoned warehouse somewhere and just shoot heroin nonstop until you're dead, go ahead. It's your life. If I got to step over you, if I got to step over your needles, if I got to step over your waist, if I've got to deal with you harassing me or my family or my friends for money, for this, that, or the other thing, then suddenly we have a problem. You are not able to take care of yourself. You're not able to take care of yourself because of your drug habit. I'm not going to subsidize it in any way, shape, or form. I'm not going to condone it. I'm simply not going to give a damn about it. Don't expect me to cry if you die. Don't expect me to feed you as you slowly kill yourself. Just do what you got to do and leave the rest of us out of it. You take over an entire park. It's not where I live, so I don't really care about what's going on in Denver. But if I lived in Denver, I'd be pretty ticked off and say, wait a second, this is not cool. This is not acceptable. I pay tax money for this to not happen. But then again, is what's happening in Denver really all that different than what's happening anywhere else, any other major city in the country, where the left has so badgered police that they're afraid to do their jobs anymore, that they refuse to do their jobs anymore, it's not worth it to do their jobs anymore? Is it really all that different? Except for the legalized marijuana, I'd say no, not at all. It's liberalism that's the problem. It's not even really the drug policy. It's the liberalism that's the problem. That causes the rot. I want to talk about Joe Rogan and COVID in the contents. We're talking about COVID, and we're talking about, oh, the hospitals are so filled with people taking horse paste. Horse paste. Yes, ivermectin is used in part, in one of its many uses, one of its many, many uses, as a parasitic, an antiparasitic. For farm animals. It's true. Now, if you just refer to it as, well, it's just horse paste, then you're really not somebody who should be taken seriously, because you're not a serious person. You're a leftist with an agenda. Sadly, there are so many people in our media and so-called journalism today that do this. You watch MSNBC or CNN, and they're like, well, they're taking veterinary medicine. Like, there's more to it than that. Okay, I don't know how in good conscience, if you really want to say it's veterinary medicine, go ahead and say it. But say it's, you know, one of its main uses is veterinary medicine. You get to say it, and it gets to be true. But instead, they just say it as if, well, anybody who takes this is basically a moron. What's wrong with these people? Blah, blah, blah. It's pathetic and stupid, and it really shows who these people are and what these people are. On the other side, though, there are people who will insist that ivermectin is the cure. It is the cure. It is the one simple thing, and it's what the pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. Enough, it's ivermectin is made by Merck and company. So they're making money off of it. Merck would love to have more money. In fact, I have a friend who works for Merck, and I asked him back when they were making all the drug companies were making a frenzy for for a vaccine. I said, well, you working on a vaccine? He does more environmental stuff there. And he said, no, we're not doing that. Like, there are enough people doing that. There's no money in it. So theoretically, if Merck wanted to make money off of COVID, if that's what they were about and that's what they were desperate for, ivermectin would be their way in. If they've got the cure or the effective treatment, this would be it. Yet Merck is saying it's not proven, don't take it, because they're opening themselves up to liabilities if they don't say something like that. So you end up with this situation where you've got on one side people saying that you're an idiot if you even consider this, and the other side saying you're a monster who's in on it if you don't say this is the cure-all. It is hydroxychloroquine all over again. It is. Everybody remembers what we went through with hydroxychloroquine. It was the treatment. It was the pathway out of this, or it was awful and going to poison you. It's going to kill you. Now, as was always the case, the truth was somewhere in the middle, more towards the it's a good treatment than the side of it's going to kill everybody, because it had been around for 60 years, and I don't honestly know how adult human beings could say, this is going to kill people. But they did. But ivermectin is the same sort of thing. Is hydroxychloroquine the treatment? No. Is it a possible treatment? Yes. Is it one of many? Yes. For everything that ails us as a species, there is multiple for good things, for their really high survival rates. There are many, many options for treatment. It's not just, well, here is the treatment, take this one thing, and that's it. Everybody gets it. The human body is very different for every single person. What works for me might not work for you, and vice versa. That's why there are multiple options for things. That's why when somebody comes up with a treatment for something, when some pharmaceutical company comes up with a treatment for something, all the other pharmaceutical companies don't go, well, they beat us to the punch. That's it. Let's forget it. Because it will not work for everybody. It's not that it may not work for everybody. It will not work for everybody. Nothing works for everybody. We're slowly learning about this. Sadly, liberalism is sort of hampering that, because it has to do largely with DNA, your DNA. And there are some treatments that work well for particular races or ethnicities that don't work well for others. We're discovering now, or work less. And that's causing a whole big controversy in medicine, because you're supposed to pretend that those things don't matter. And when it comes to who a person is, they don't. But when it comes to treating a person, they do. So we'll see where that goes. But just because somebody comes up with a pill that, well, this treats such and such, that might not work for you. You want the investigation to continue. You want the research and development to continue. Even if there are already effective treatments. And some people go, well, we've already got a treatment for that. What do we need more for? That's why you need more. Enter Joe Rogan in ivermectin. Joe Rogan is a podcaster. I think he's the most popular podcaster in the world. Somewhere up there. I don't know. I've seen clips of his interviews, and they seem interesting, but then you see that like each show's like 3.5 hours long of an interview. There's nobody I want to interview for 3.5 hours or even hear interviewed for 3.5 hours, so I've never actually listened to a whole one. And of course, if you clip 2 minutes out of a 3.5 hour interview, you can make anybody sound interesting, including the host. But I remember him as a comedian. I remember him as the host of Fear Factor and on news radio. And he does commentary for Ultimate Fighting or whatever. But I don't really care. I like boxing. I don't like Ultimate Fighting. It's too much like a bar fight. That's neither here nor there. He was a vaccine skeptic. I don't think he's anti-vax. I think he's, for people who are older, should take it. But he is also kind of a COVID is mostly a flu. It's just a flu kind of guy, which plays an important role into why I think what I think about the situation involving Joe Rogan. Because he says that, you know, look, it's just a flu. If you're young, if you're healthy, it's just a flu, blah, blah, blah. Well, he reported last week that he had COVID, that he felt really, really bad, really tired. That was his one, achy and tired on Sunday. And so he went to his doctor and got tested, and he was COVID positive. Now, we only have his word to take for this. He's COVID positive. But by Wednesday, he was better. He was feeling better. He tweeted out a picture of negative COVID results. He never tweeted out a picture of positive COVID results, but he tweeted out a picture of negative COVID results and said, "It's a miracle." He said, well, when he went to his doctor, they threw everything at him. They had him on intravenous vitamins. They had him on Z-Pak. They had him on this and that. He listed a whole bunch of things that he was on. And one of the things in there that he listed was ivermectin. Whether or not he took these things, I don't know. If he took ivermectin, one would presume that it was the human dosage, not the horse dosage. But there's no evidence whatsoever, and this is the problem with it, and this is what makes what he said and did so irresponsible. He's got millions and millions of people who listen to him every single day, who follow him on various social media platforms. He says, oh, I took ivermectin, and now it's Wednesday, and I feel great. I feel better than I ever did. Well, there are a lot of dumb people out there who won't think rationally, who will just go, oh, well, ivermectin worked for Joe Rogan, therefore I must get ivermectin. Even if I'm not sick, I'll take it as a prophylactic. Which, again, we don't know whether or not he actually was sick. We just have his word to go on. I have no reason to doubt he's lying, other than the fact that people lie for publicity all the time. But if somebody like Joe Rogan, who's in good shape, who's relatively young, works out, if he, upon having one crummy day, I'm tired, I had achy joints, ran to his doctor and found out he had COVID and then immediately started shoving everything into his body you could possibly imagine. So he listed, there's like 5-6 things he lists, shoving all of that into his body. Was he lying about, you know, not being too concerned about COVID? I don't care about COVID. Now suddenly he's got COVID. He's like, oh my God, fill me up with everything you got, doc. Plug me in, run, and just fill me up. Was he lying to his audience before, or is he lying to his audience now? And why mention any kind of treatment that you're getting? Because, again, if he lists 5, 6, 7 things that he's taking, and people who want to hear that ivermectin is the cure-all, just like people wanted to hear that hydroxychloroquine was the cure-all, they just hear that and they say, well, see, he took ivermectin and it worked. I realize this is controversial. It shouldn't be. It's just rational thought. But he took ivermectin and it worked. Well, how do you know it was ivermectin that worked? How do you know that it wasn't the Z-Pak that he took? How do you know that it wasn't the intravenous vitamins? Or the whatever else that he was taking that I can't even remember, that I don't care about. How do you know it wasn't them? How do you know it wasn't the fact that he's a guy who's in pretty good shape, who has a good immune system, that just said, all right, the immune system beat it? You don't know. You can't know. And that's why you need study. That's why you need to study this stuff. Anecdotes are great. Anecdotes are wonderful. They're amusing. They're helpful in certain circumstances to convey information, but they are not science in any way, shape, or form. And I realize this is controversial. It shouldn't be. It should be common sense. Correlation is not causation. It can be. It's certainly something you want to look at, but it is not causation in and of itself. That's why it is required to take a serious look at all of these things and go, all right, well, what other factors are there? Joe Rogan, not morbidly obese. Joe Rogan, in good shape. Joe Rogan, presumably, has a good immune system. It's probably likely that he would have been just fine. Which again, if he's out there saying this is basically a bad flu and it's no big deal or not that big of a deal, especially if you're young and healthy, then why did he run off to the doctor? And why would he take anything? Why would you take any? Look, I don't believe that this thing is a damn thing. I don't think it's anything whatsoever. You've got it. All right, Doc, well, fill me up with whatever you got. Go ahead. I mean, this thing, protect me against this thing I don't believe is that big of a deal. Please, Lord, fill me up. Does that make a lot of sense to anybody? Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I have a lot of questions about this, but the real problem is there are going to be a lot of people who won't question things, who won't think logically, who will go out. And their knowledge of what ivermectin is and how to use it is less than stellar, shall we say. And they will go and they will maybe buy the veterinary version of it. And maybe they will hurt themselves. So I would suggest, and this is just me, again, you can do whatever you want. As long as you don't force me to do it, I don't care what you do. If you don't force me to pay for it, to subsidize it, or to cheer you on it, you just do it, and I don't have to be a party to it, knock yourself out. You want to take horse tranquilizers like Keith Moon did? Go for it. But it is wildly irresponsible to just go out there and say, this is what happened, when you don't know anything, when there's no proof, except Joe Rogan's word for his doctor just started shoving things into his veins and down his throat, and there you go, and that cured me. Why? Why would you believe that it cured you? Shouldn't you have a little more faith in your immune system? The guy who said he had all sorts of faith in your immune system? And instead of attacking Joe Rogan, this would be a good opportunity to educate people. But instead, the left is saying, no, we shouldn't even look at it. We shouldn't even consider ivermectin. And again, it really is hydroxychloroquine. You got the right saying this is the treatment, this is the cure, and the left saying this stuff will kill you and it's over. The truth is somewhere in between. How many people could be helped by any or all of this? The same with hydroxychloroquine, the same with ivermectin. Lots of people could probably be helped with it, even if it's just psychosomatic. Instead, they won't do it. They won't do it. There are people lying, like the doctor, saying, well, there's a lot of people in hospitals who are keeping gunshot wound victims out. No, they're not. No, they're not. But there are enough. There are some dumb people who will do bad and stupid things because they don't know any better. It's hard to feel sympathy for somebody who's dumb and does something really dumb. But still, you shouldn't encourage it. The truth is always somewhere in between, and the people who tell you they have the absolute truth are the ones lying to you the most and have the most to gain by lying to you. Ivermectin may work on a lot of people, may work on some people, may work on a few people. We don't know. But I guarantee you that a lot of people who took ivermectin thinking it would help them died, not because of ivermectin, but because it didn't help them. Does that mean ivermectin is not effective? No. Just means it wasn't effective for them. Or maybe they took it too late. Or maybe they took the wrong dose. Or whatever. We'll never know because it's not being studied. It is being declared by one side to be one thing and declared by the other side to be something else. And neither side is interested in what the actual truth is. That's the problem. The truth matters, or at least it should. It used to. I swear, I've read stories about where it used to. Doesn't anymore. All right, I want to look at another, just the way that the media frames things is absolutely hilarious. It is funny. Looking at Baltimore, and it's sad, and it's pathetic, and it's dangerous and scary. Fox News, Fox 45 in Baltimore. You want to know why cities are going to hell? And why liberal-run cities are going to hell. And this is why liberal-run cities are going to hell. A shocking discovery out of a Baltimore City high school where Project Baltimore has found hundreds of students are failing. It's a school where a student who passed three classes in 4 years ranks near the top half of his class with a 0.13 grade point average. I'm going to read that opening, that lead paragraph again, because it's so shocking, but it's not surprising. It's just like, you're kidding me. How does this happen? There are adults, very well paid, very highly paid adults, who are in charge of the school system in Baltimore, this school in Baltimore. The teachers are well paid, and there's nothing. None of them stood up and said, "Say, we got a problem here." Nope. So here we go. Just so you don't drive off the road. Just so you don't sit there and go, "Am I insane? Did I just hear that right?" Unambiguously, here's the story, the start, the lead. A shocking discovery at a Baltimore City high school where Project Baltimore has found hundreds of students are failing. It's a school where a student who passed three classes in 4 years ranks near the top half of his class with a 0.13 grade point average. And you wonder why things are going to hell. And you sit there and you go, what is happening? Why is this allowed to happen? Why is this allowed to continue? This is allowed to happen. This is allowed to continue because people keep voting for the same. People keep vote. The mentality of people is undeterred by reality, I guess would be the way to go. Undeterred by reality. Unpolluted by reality. And you end up there and you look at the insanity of this country, the insanity of things in this country, and you end up with this story from ABC News. It's a local ABC News, but it's an Associated Press story, byline story. Jobless Americans have few options as benefits expire. Today's the day the bonus money for unemployment benefits is gone. It's gone. The $600, I guess it was ended up at the end, it was $300 a week in addition to unemployment benefits. It's gone. So, you know, you can still be on it. It's not like everybody's kicked off of unemployment. It's that the bonus money is gone. And as I've been saying, you should listen to me. You should listen to me. People get used to that money. Here's $300 a week extra. You give me $300 a week extra, and I'll be, oh, this is awesome. I will be very grateful. And I'll put that money away, and then in about a month, 2 months, I will start spending that money. And if I was living paycheck to paycheck before, I'll be living paycheck to paycheck again. Pretty short order with, you know, the difference being, that with no real difference, no savings. Okay, well, why? Well, because I got used to this money. So instead of buying the steak that's on sale or the ground beef or maybe the chicken, I could buy the good stuff because I have this extra $300. And you end up getting used to that. And then when the money goes away, what happens? You're sitting there going, what do? I'm missing my money. Somebody has cut my pay. Somebody has cut my money. They've taken money away from me. No. They stopped giving you money. There's a difference. They didn't take anything away from you. They stopped giving it to you. But you get that mentality of entitlement. And you can believe and you can feel as though they've taken something away from you. And that's when Democrats know that they've got their claws into you. The story, millions of jobless Americans. And by the way, the picture with this story is hilarious. Because it said, you know, jobless Americans have few options as benefits expire. Then there's a picture of a woman walking into what looks like a convenience store or a grocery store or something. And there's a big sign right there. Now hiring. And like, I could have few. I could think of one option. I can think of one very important, obvious option right there. Even without having seen the picture, when I read the headline last night, I thought, I know an option. I have a good option. It's get a damn job. But the liberal mindset in the media, no, they have very, very few options. People are going to be stuck out there. It is corrosive. The story, millions of jobless Americans lost their unemployment benefits on Monday, leaving only a handful of economic support programs for those who are still being hit financially by the year and a half old coronavirus pandemic. Listen to that. Lost their unemployment benefits. They didn't lose their unemployment benefits. They lost the bonus unemployment benefits. If you lost your job 3 weeks ago, you got 3 weeks of unemployment checks with a $300 bonus, and then you still get unemployment checks. It's pretty simple. You just don't get the $300 bonus. That's what changed. That's all that changed. I love it. They're leaving only a handful of economic support programs. How many economic support programs do people need? How many do they need? And we have this debate not often enough, but often, where Republicans, when they do get in charge, and occasionally they do try to govern as conservatives, occasionally, not for very long, but occasionally they do try to govern as conservatives. And what do? They will go, well, we have 15 programs here that feed the poor. Do we need 50? Because it's not just 15 programs. Like, well, you want to make sure you can catch everybody you can. So 15. No, each one of those programs has their own web, intricate web of bureaucrats, of garbage, costing tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. And you sit there and you go, do we need 15 programs? Could we maybe get by on 5? If we're still catching everybody, but we're only using 5 programs and we can get rid of 10 programs worth of bureaucratic red tape and bureaucrats, even if you only get rid of half the bureaucrats and the overhead that goes with all of that, we'd end up saving money. And to normal people who've ever balanced a checkbook, who've ever had to pay their bills on time, they look at that and they go, well, that makes perfect sense. That makes sense. I wouldn't want to waste money. It's not like I'm paying for cable, I'm paying for Comcast, I'm paying for Fios, I'm paying for all the other systems. They've got all. No, you just need, how about you just have one? Maybe two. If that's what you want, but instead of paying for all of them and getting duplicates, how about you just pick one? And Democrats go running out to the microphones going, oh my God, Republicans, they're trying to kill the poor. They just want to hurt the poor. They're trying to cut programs for the poor. They want to throw grandma and grandpa out on the street. They want them eating cat food. They're monsters. They want to starve children. Don't you know that they just want to hurt children and hate children and blah, blah, blah. And you go, all right. And what happens? The Republicans, of course, are horrible at messaging. So they go, well, all right, well, we don't want to hurt the poor. We'll stop. We'll pull that proposal. We will not get rid of any of the 15 programs that are wildly redundant that so-called help the poor. It's screwed up. It's how government works, sadly. It's just like every time Republicans try to do anything about Medicare, which is going wildly broke, or Social Security, which is going wildly broke, but Medicare in particular, they say, all right, well, next year we're scheduled to increase Medicare spending by 10%. How about we increase Medicare spending by 9% instead? Right? You know, it's still 9% more than this year. But it's not 10%, and we'll just bank the savings, or we won't spend that money, so we'll save money in that sense. And what do Democrats do? They go running out going, oh my God, they're slashing Medicare. They're trying to kill grandma and grandpa. They're doing this horrible thing. And nothing gets done. The idea that somebody is suffering because the jobless benefits, the bonus of $300 is going away or has gone away, should not be seen as anything other than, okay, well, it's been in place for over a year. Maybe it's time you get a damn job. Realistically, you're not allowed to say that. It's in politics, your opponent will run at you with that. But I love this idea that somehow the jobless, what are they going to do now? How will they survive? Well, they could get a job. As if you look anywhere, what do you see? You see help wanted signs. You see people where my dad lives up in northern lower peninsula of Michigan. There's a restaurant there. It does a booming business. It's for sale because they can't find people to work there. It has a bowling alley. It's an awesome place. It's great food. They used to have a great brunch buffet, but now I don't think anybody's doing buffets. But it's a great restaurant. We were up there a few months ago. We ate there again. It's great pizza. But it took forever. We were sitting there and the place is kind of empty and we had to wait about 10 minutes to get a table. And I asked, my dad knows everybody there, and he goes, what's going on? I said, well, we can't find wait staff. can't find wait staff. So, you know, we can't open up all the tables. They were not doing the business they should be doing that the customers wanted because they couldn't find people to do the job. Because it was more advantageous for people to be unemployed than to be employed. You're getting 2/3 or whatever it is of your salary already through your unemployment benefits, and then you're getting either $600 it was to or $300 bonus on top of that every week. So you're actually making more money than you otherwise would have had you worked the whole time. That's a pretty sweet deal. People aren't going to give that up. People recognize, hey, and I've got until September to really enjoy this. Then I'll start looking for a job. Maybe now things will change. But I've heard from people, restaurants, they open only a certain number of days a week. Why? Because they can't find people to come in and do the work. Retail stores, limiting hours. Why? Because they can't find people to come in and do the work. Because government has incentivized people to not work. It's a better deal. Who wouldn't take that? Oh, you can maintain your lifestyle and actually live a little bit better, but as long as you don't work. That's the only way. Now, there are some people, my dad in his heyday would be one of them, and go, no, I need to be doing something. It would drive me nuts. Although he'd probably spend the time doing woodworking and be fine. But there are still other people and more people who'd go, well, all right, great. You don't have to ask me twice. I'm definitely not going to work. And then you get stories where, oh, my God, the jobless people are just out of options. Well, there's one really important option. The only option that really matters, to be perfectly honest, is get a damn job. Get a damn job. With it comes self-respect, comes all sorts of things. Then whoever wrote this story should be embarrassed. Two critical programs expired on Monday. One provided jobless aid to self-employed and gig workers, and another provided benefits to those who had been unemployed for more than 6 months. Further, the Biden administration's $300 weekly supplemental unemployment benefits also ran out on Monday. Okay, go get a job. Right now we have somewhere in the neighborhood of more than about a million jobs that are over and above the number of people who are counted amongst the unemployed. Now, that million is sitting there and you're going, well, what do you mean? They're still short that. No. There's about a million people who've dropped out of the workforce, who've given up all hope. After a certain point, if you stop looking for work, even if you're just sitting on your butt because the government's paying you $300, if you say that you've given up looking for work, you then no longer count as unemployed. You've been otherized, you've been wiped clean. They can re-enter the workforce as well. You just have to incentivize them. And it's not going to incentivize. You see, like, oh, work at McDonald's, $17 an hour, $15 an hour. That's part of the reason why, where my dad lives, that they can't find people to wait tables because the food's relatively inexpensive. You get even a 20% tip. You're not going to be living an easy street. Now, it's very rural. You can live there for very little money and do quite well. But you could also go down the block and his town, which literally has two stoplights. One of them blinks most of the time. But they do have a McDonald's. And that McDonald's, I think, was offering $17 an hour, according to their sign. So they're even having trouble. So why would you wait tables and maybe after taxes and everything end up having made, I don't know, $20 an hour one day and $10 an hour another day? And why wouldn't you go to McDonald's for $17 an hour? Why wouldn't you go to the Walmart not far away for $15 an hour? That's guaranteed money. The Biden administration Democrats, and with the help of Republicans at the beginning, although Republicans stopped doing it and started recognizing it as a problem, polluted the market to the point that it's almost unrecognizable. It's problematic. It's going to be problematic in trying to pull out of this nosedive. There are already Democrats out there saying we need to extend these benefits. We need to continue to pay these people more money. They're already finding other ways to throw money at them. If you have kids, you're getting a check every month. It shows up in the mail. You didn't have to apply for it. You didn't have to do anything. It's just, here's money. It's all part of the government's plan to try to get you used to good things coming from the government. Money coming from the government. And then the argument will come sooner rather than later that it is Republicans who are trying to take away this money. They get you dependent on it, and then they say Republicans are going to take it away. It's like getting somebody hooked on heroin and then saying, taking it away, and the control you have over them, if you are their gateway for that drug, and you think money and heroin are different, they're really, really not. If you get people addicted to anything, you can control them. None of this is by accident. None of it is by accident. I just want to touch on this story here from the Intercept. They've gotten their hands on 900 pages of documents, including paperwork having to do with Echo Health Alliance and the Chinese lab in Wuhan, China, that involves the NIH and the National Institutes of Infectious Diseases. That is what Fauci runs. And it is proof, dating back to 2014, that President Fauci was involved in funding the gain-of-function, that our government, our tax dollars were used to fund gain-of-function research on coronaviruses in China. Why? Well, because these people who do this for a living and people who fund it, like Fauci, have God complexes. They love playing God. And, you know, that just leads to really bad decisions. But most importantly, this means that Fauci had been committing perjury for a year and a half. Every time Rand Paul asked him a question about this, every time Rand Paul asked him a question, he's, no, we never did that. We never did. Never, never, never. No, 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 no. And yes, 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 yes. And he knew exactly what he was doing. He's just calling it something else now, that it, not anymore. It's gain of function, because he doesn't want to be accused of rightly, apparently, helping fund this disaster. We'll find out if committing perjury to Congress is a crime anymore. I don't think it is, because President Fauci isn't going to face any charges. But I just want to touch on that as we learn more about it, because The Intercept isn't a very good website, but the documents are true. And we'll follow up on that as we learn more. But for now, we're out of time. It's Wednesday. Oh, right. Tomorrow's Thursday. We'll know more about President Fauci and all of his garbage and everything else that happens between then and now tomorrow. I appreciate the use of your ears. Hope we didn't abuse them too much. I'll see you tomorrow.